And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Happy New Year, everybody. First broadcast day of a brand new year. We are now in 2020, and I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. I believe God has great things in store for us because his word says he does. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good and not harm, plans to give you hope and expected end, a great future. And when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find it. So that's my expectation for 2020, not only for my own life, but for this network and for all of our listeners. And so I want to start this program out in a way that I don't normally start programs out, since this is the first program of a brand new year, of a brand new decade as well, in an unusually numbered decade, 2020. Make of that what you will. I trust we will all have 2020 spiritual vision this year. Can't help but have that take on 2020. So I want to start this program out with a prayer for all of you, for this network, and for our country. So let us pray. Father, first of all, thank you so much that all of us who are listening to this broadcast, all of those who are working to make this broadcast possible, are yet in the land of the living. Thank you that we are here to do what we are doing. David said, I would have fainted, I would have quit, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, Lord, we have waited on you, and you have blessed us to see a brand new year in a brand new decade, and we are grateful. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless the Wildman family, Tim and his siblings and their families, Lord, their children. Bless every person, Jim Stanley, who manages this network, and every person who works at it. Bless Randy, my producer, and all the producers throughout all the programs that air on this network. Bless every talk show host who is on and every minister who is on. Lord God, just bless everything we set our hands to do in this network. And may 2020 be a year of continued growth and vitality and breakthrough and impact on all of those we are reaching. And may we reach many, many more throughout this nation and ultimately through the wonders of the internet throughout the world. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless our audience. We have people who listen to this network regularly, and they call in and they comment and they contribute. And Lord, we are so grateful for them. May they and their families continue to be blessed, and may this network be a blessing to them as well. May it be an oasis of edification and inspiration and truth and information that they can actually put to work in their lives to make their lives better and make their understanding and vision for their lives clearer and more in keeping with what you say and what your word says than what the world says. And so, Lord, we are so very, very grateful to be a part of this great network. Now, Lord, may we have an impact on our nation. Bless the United States of America, we pray. Lord, save our nation. Save our country, Lord, from the forces that would seek to turn us away from you, that would seek to substitute their human wisdom for your divine wisdom, that would seek to substitute their human judgment for what your word says. We pray, Lord God, for the president, the Congress, the governors, the state legislators, the city councilors, the school board members, the county supervisors and commissioners, all across this land, every person in every area of government, Lord, may they seek to lead this country in the way it ought to go. May they lead with an understanding that America is blessed because her God is the Lord, and we will only remain blessed if God remains our Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that America will experience the greatest years of prosperity and power and blessing throughout its entire history thus far, because our hearts are turned toward you. Lord, give us a third great awakening in this nation. We desperately need it. The biggest problems that we have in our country are not ultimately economic or political. They're ultimately spiritual. And Lord, we ask you for an outpouring of your spirit to solve that problem so that America returns to her truest foundational principles, the foundational principles of faith in God and family and personal responsibility and the limited government, the principles that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. We don't believe that's an accident. We believe that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We dedicate the year 2020 to you, and may we live it in a way that is pleasing in your sight, and may our country turn in a direction that pleases you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I wanted to get 2020 started with prayer, because we know that prayer is the most powerful force in the universe, because the God we serve hears and answers prayer. And when people ask me how I can be so hopeful for our country, that's my answer. Because there are millions of Americans across this nation who are crying out to God in behalf of our country, who love God and want to serve him and want to see our nation be a place that is pleasing in his sight. And we are up against fierce opposition who hate God and hate the Bible and hate Christians for what we stand for. But we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we know this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So we have every reason to be hopeful and encouraged and strengthened aware of the fact that we simply cannot lose ultimately. You know, I can't remember who I heard say this, but I just thought it was absolutely great. And this is what it is. You know, I end the program by saying we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. And that is absolutely true. I heard somebody say the other day, and I wish I could give it attribution, that we know it's not over if we haven't won. We know it's not over if we haven't won, because it's not over until we win. So, you know, there you go, folks. I don't care what the inning is. I don't care what the quarter is. In this game of life, in this stage upon which we as human beings have the privilege of walking, it's not over for us Christians. It's not over for us believers until we win. And we're going to win in the name of Jesus. So I thought, yeah, that's, there you go. There you go. It's not over until we win. And if we haven't won, that just means it's not over yet. We don't play 9-inning games. We don't play 4-quarter games. We don't play 2-half games. We play until we win. So that's the attitude that you ought to have. And I'll tell you something, folks. I've said this all over this nation where anybody's been willing to give me an audience. And I know you feel exactly the same way. So I don't suggest that I'm the only one who feels this way, but I think it expresses the sentiment of millions of Americans across this land. If I have to be the last one standing up for faith in God, if I have to be the last one standing up for our flag, standing up for our Constitution, standing up for our Judeo-Christian values and principles, if I have to be the last one doing it, I will do it until I breathe my dying breath. But I will never give up. I will never give in. I will never back down. And I will never quit. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The future of the Affordable Care Act, often called Obamacare, is in legal limbo. A 3-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals essentially declared the law unconstitutional, but sent it back to the Federal District Court to evaluate its status. 2 years ago, the attorneys general of a number of states, led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, asked a federal judge in Fort Worth to strike down the law as unconstitutional. Their argument was simple. The bill was declared constitutional by the Supreme Court because the individual mandate was considered a tax. Since Congress has the power to levy a tax, it was constitutional. But Congress removed the penalty, and so the argument being made was the Obamacare Foundation collapsed by no longer requiring the penalty, which the Supreme Court called a tax. U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor in December 2018 ruled the entire law unconstitutional. Now, a year later, the judges in the Fifth Circuit Court seem to agree, but they sent the ruling back to the first judge to answer a key question. That question is the issue of severability. If part of the law is unconstitutional, does that mean that all of the law is unconstitutional, or does that mean you can sever part of the law and still maintain the rest of the law? The circuit court judges ruled that the opinion of the district judge needs to do the necessary legwork in order to reach his conclusions. All of this means that the law is in a bit of legal limbo. It also means that it could be struck down and declared unconstitutional. That means that Congress needs to get serious about crafting legislation that could be put in its place if it no longer exists. We should ask our member of Congress, as well as people running for Congress in 2020, what they propose to do about this. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear her baby's heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies whose lives were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. A leading news anchor tells America he wants to get rid of, yes, get rid of, everyone who believes in a biblical view of homosexuality. How are Democrats faring in their attempted coup against President Trump? And this year's census will reallocate 26 Electoral College votes. Is that good or bad for constitutional conservatives? Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Since this is the beginning of the year, I want to get to the calls as soon as I can because I want you all to comment on anything that you have on your mind, any hope that you have for this year. Now, I don't do resolutions. I don't knock people who do that. I just don't do it. At the end of each year and the beginning of the following year, I always consider 3 things that I evaluate in myself: my character, my circumstances, and my contribution to the kingdom of God. Those are the 3 things I look at. Where is my character? Believe it or not, folks, I've never had a year end in which I could say, you know what? My character is absolutely perfect, and I don't have a single improvement to make. You know, so each year, I take a hard look at myself, and I seek God's face and say, Lord, I know I'm not where I need to be here. I know I'm not where I need to be in this particular area of my life, or in this particular aspect of it. Help me to do better here. Help me to solve this problem, or help me to get over this issue. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Bishop, tell us about these imperfections. None of your business. None of your business. But you can rest assured that I have them. And guess what? You do too. So each year, I just try to work on asking God to help me improve my character and improve the way I conduct myself and to really, you know, adhere to the things that I know are pleasing in His sight. You know, I mean, forgiveness is always a big issue. When you do what I do, and, you know, you have people say nasty things about you, at learning to forgive people, even if they don't want forgiveness or don't seek forgiveness or don't ask for forgiveness or don't think they need forgiveness, forgiving them anyway, simply because it's within your sovereign power to do so. And God says, if we don't forgive, neither will he forgive us. Well, that could be a challenge sometimes when people stab you in the back or hurt you or do bad things to you. So there's always something in our character, folks, that we need to improve. And then circumstances. I ask the question, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to improve the circumstances of my life? How can I do better? How can I manage my life better, manage my time better, manage my relationships better? How can I manage my money better? How can I be a better husband? How can I, you know, just do the things and be a better father? How can I do the things that the circumstances around me demand in a more efficient and effective way? Here again, a way that honors God with my time, my talent, my money, with everything that I have. Because look, folks, if you're doing things in the circumstances of your life God's way, it's not that you're never going to have any problems. I'd be lying to you to tell you that. But I tell you what, you'll have a lot fewer by doing them in the very best way that you can in the sight of God. A, you'll have a lot fewer. And B, God will always be there. You'll have confidence that he's there to help you through those problems because you know you're doing the best you can to live your life in a way that pleases him. And then third, kingdom contribution. Lord, how can I be more effective at helping advance your cause, your kingdom, your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so forth? And that's one of the reasons why, folks, I am in no way softening my position on marriage or abortion or Israel or communism and socialism. I'm not softening my position on these things at all. I'm digging in. Because I'm convinced of this, that's kingdom business. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. Folks, those things I just named are enemies of God's kingdom. They are enemies of God's kingdom. And if you're going to stand up for God's kingdom, pastors, you're going to stand up for God's kingdom, Christians, you've got to stand against those things that are coming against his kingdom. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. So if you're for him, you've got to be against the things that are against him. And so I just evaluate those things at the end of every year and try to look ahead to the year and see if I can improve. I mean, kingdom business involves, where's my faith this year? And how have I done with that? How have I done with dealing with people in my relationships as a Christian? How about, because you're going to meet people who are very difficult, you know? You're going to meet people who challenge your anointing. So how have I dealt with those moments when I needed grace and when I needed to show the fruit of the Spirit? And can I do that better this year? Lord, help me to do that better this year. So folks, that, you know, I don't do the resolutions. That's how I approach it. You may have a different approach, but you may want to talk about something that you think is important either for you or for our audience or for the country this year. Feel free to share that with me. The number is 888-589-8840. Now, the first thing I want to deal with is, as you all know, we've just taken action to defend the United States Embassy in Iraq. And I want to put this on the table. You've got the left arguing that if the president had not pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, we would not be having the problems that we're having with Iran right now. Now, anybody who believes that is just an utter fool, an utter fool. That's like the left saying, you know, if we gave these Islamic people jobs and they had a better lifestyle, they wouldn't become terrorists. Folks, Osama bin Laden was worth $200 or $300 million. You've got doctors, lawyers, engineers. You've got well-to-do people who have joined in this Islamic terrorism insanity. And the same is true with this Iran deal. I'm glad the president pulled out of it because to me, it was a suicide pact. Now, all we were doing was saying to Iran, we'll give you 10 years to create your nuclear weapons. And at the end of that period, you can go ahead and fire them off and destroy Israel and maybe even have enough to attack our shores as well. I mean, and then we sent them $1.7 billion in cash money to help make sure that they could do that. I mean, folks, it's Appeasement never works. And the idea that somehow your enemies, people who hate you because of who you are, because of what you believe, because of what America represents, somehow, if we just entered into this treaty, or we just did this thing over here, we just did this thing over there, oh, they would really like us then. Oh, we'd get along. You know, this is the delusion of the left. This is like Chamberlain coming back from the Munich Accord with Hitler and waving a piece of paper, peace in our time, peace in our time. We can work with Hitler. I mean, I don't know how they got that stupid in light of history, because most of them who think this way are educated people. But obviously, they've been educated with a bunch of lies, because history teaches us that appeasement simply doesn't work. Iran will attack us. Iran will seek to undermine us. Iran will seek to destroy us. Iran will attack our troops because they hate us, period. And it doesn't matter what kind of treaty you enter into with them. So blaming President Trump is, I mean, folks, it's exasperating. It really is. And you know, putting these people in power is going to get a bunch of us killed. I'm serious. I'm serious, folks. Putting these people in power will get a bunch of us killed, because they're always bending over backwards to appease our enemy rather than vigorously defending the safety and security of the American people. This is what we got with the Obama administration with Benghazi. They had been asked repeatedly, I can't remember the number, but numerous times, for added security, because the circumstance was dire there. And Hillary Clinton, State Department, turned them down again and again. And Barack Obama, with his little milquetoast, limp presidency, didn't do anything either. And we ended up with four Americans dead. And we were told it was because of some stupid anti-Muslim movie that was made. These people don't need a movie. They don't need a cartoon. They don't need an excuse for a fatwa. They hate our guts. And they want to blame the president and don't want to look back on Benghazi and learn the lesson of Benghazi, that you simply can't take for granted that these people hate you and want to kill you. I'm not saying all Muslims, but I'm saying the ones that are Islamists, the ones that come from the school of radical Islam, the ones that believe that all that America is a nation of infidels that needs to be brought under an Islamic worldwide caliphate, the ones that believe in the coming of the Mahdi, who is going to put all of us under Islamic rule, and that Muslims will be first-class citizens and the rest of us will be demis who have to step off the sidewalk when we see a Muslim coming under Sharia law, the people who believe all of that craziness are going to try to kill us no matter what. And there's only one solution. Kill them first. There's only one solution. Kill them first. Now, in the meantime, sure, we pray for people to have a change of heart. But let me tell you something, folks. When the bullets start flying, when the attacks start coming, you got to meet force with force. So who are we kidding? I mean, look, folks, America needs leadership that is dedicated to preserving, protecting, and defending the national security of our country and the safety and security of our people. And as far as I'm concerned, President Barack Obama didn't have a clue about that. I don't even believe he really cared about it. And President Trump does. And I don't think that's a Democrat-Republican thing. I think that really is a character thing. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Strange how God made the world, or not the actual creation, but the way in which he made us human beings. He implanted within all of us, you know, the desire to love and to be loved, to appreciate and be appreciated. And some of the grandest moments of our lives are when we are reminded that we are loved and appreciated. Once I received in the mail a letter from a couple who live in Alamogordo, New Mexico. It was a rather short letter, probably taking the writer a couple of minutes to write. But the good it did me was measureless. May I share it with you? "We'd like you to know," it began, "how very much whatsoever things written by you and published in our Star Shopper means to us. We look forward to it each week and always enclose it in a letter to someone. May God continue to bless your work for him." Well, a couple of days later, another small note came in the mail. This one was from Deltaville, Virginia. Using the title of one of my recent newspaper articles, the writer had written a single line which made me humble and thankful. "Your articles," the writer wrote, "stir up my hope." All of us have this desire, don't we? Every one of us appreciates appreciation. We like a little flattery occasionally, even if we know it isn't true. And when someone says something to us which compliments something we have done, it lifts our hearts beyond expression. Why we humans fail to use this wonderful power, which costs nothing and buys everything, is hard to understand. It has the power to heal our hurts, find us friends, and build up brotherhood. The world is waiting to open its doors to anyone who will live this way, to those who can find compliment instead of condemnation, to those who can find friends instead of fault, to those who look for the best instead of the bad. The world literally opens its doors and says, "Welcome." The person who can develop this way of living will never be in want, never go hungry, never be alone. People will absolutely stand at their door begging for their companionship. Now, where does one acquire this way of living? Why, from the Galilean, of course. For isn't it he who teaches us to look for the good? Isn't it he who causes us to forget our stinginess and selfishness? Isn't it he who teaches us to lose ourselves so that we may find ourselves? So I guess that if we are interested in finding life to be this way, we have to be willing to follow his way. Many of us are willing to take this approach when dealing with our friends. Few of us are willing to do it when we deal with our enemies. It's a real shame, too. For we could get rid of our enemies by living this way. Don't we get rid of our enemies when we make them our friends? It's true. Little things mean a lot, especially expressed appreciation.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
One other quick thing, and then I'm going to come to your call, so you all just be a little bit more patient. 888-589-8840 is the number, and we've got some open lines. One other thing I wanted to say, you know, I'm a bit emotional today. It's the first broadcast day of the year, and I love this country and so look forward with hope and so want good things for the American people. I get a little emotional about it. Well, this shooting that happened down in Texas has an element that nobody's really pointed out, but I think it has some symbolic impact. Two law-abiding, decent, honorable, courageous American citizens died in that attack. It just so happens. Oh, my goodness gracious. Just when I need here, I've got it. It just so happens that one of them is an American of African descent, and one of them is an American of European descent. Richard White, 67, from River Oaks, happens to be an American of European descent. Anton Wallace, 64, from Fort Worth, happens to be an American of African descent. One's color, skin color is dark. The other's skin color is light. There's no such thing as white and black, but that's one's skin color is lighter. The other skin color is darker, but they're two courageous, decent Americans who lost their lives defending that congregation. Now look, folks, here's just a simple point I want to make. The left wants to divide us by race. They want to make everything about race or everything about sex. I mean, these are their obsessions, their mantras. But you know what that shows? It's symbolic, of course, but it shows that evil has no discrimination. Evil doesn't care what your skin color is. But guess what? Goodness doesn't have a skin color either. And what this country needs is for good people in this nation who love God, love our families, love this country, to stand up together and fight together for what we know is right for America, what we know is right for our nation, and to do so seeing each other as individuals, not based on some racial or ethnic category, but as individuals. Because, look, folks, I don't know whether you, those of you listening to me, some of you may have come from Italian descent, some of you from Irish descent, some of you may come from Scotch-Irish descent, which is a little bit different. Some of you may come from German ancestry. Some of you may come from Jewish ancestry. I don't know. But I do know this. Whatever your ancestry is, you didn't choose it. It was not your choice. But your character, your decency, your honor, that's your choice. And we ought to be evaluating people on the basis of the choices that they make, not the choices forced upon them by history that they had no hand in whatsoever. That just happens to be the way it is. So we have two men who gave their lives in that congregation. They come from two very different ancestral streams, but they both made the choice of honor in a moment of danger. And so that, and folks, that's the hope of America. The hope of America is a nation united around principle, not divided by race. United around our ideals, not divided by the scramble and the dog-eat-dog hunger for political advantage. That's what the left wants us to live by. That's how they want us to live. But we have to chart a different future for our country, and I hope that that future throws on the dung heap of history this leftist obsession with race and sex and class and anything they can put their hands on that will divide us. Because, folks, the future of America has got to be a future of one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, in which the hue of a person's skin is absolutely irrelevant, because what matters is not the color of their skin, but what lies within. And so I just want to honor these two men. God bless both of them, Richard White and Anton Wallace, who gave their all to protect their fellow Christians and their fellow citizens. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to your calls. We've got in Georgia, we've got Dickie. Dickie, welcome.
Thank you for having me. You are so right. That's what I was calling about, Bishop. I have a friend in Atlanta that owns his own business, a company. I'm going to shoot through this real quick. A company called him for a quote. He followed up on it. Didn't ever hear nothing back. Everything, the company said everything was great. The price, the product, everything. But he said, but what? He said, we had to give it to a minority. He said, oh, man, they knew they were going to give it to a minority when they called him. They wasted his time. They cost him money. Affirmative action is an awful program. White people being denied jobs because of the qualified white people being denied jobs because of the color of their skin. Let's forget about the color. Let's look at the price. Let's look at the quality of work, no matter what color that person is. It's just an unfair program, and it needs to be done away with. Let's focus on the product and the price. Forget about the color of the person.
Amen. Well, Dickie, I couldn't agree with you more. And look, let's face it, these programs only serve to divide us once again, because instead of our being on a level playing field with everybody competing, we know that some people are going to be given a leg up because they happen to be black, or they happen to be Indian, Native American, or they happen to be a woman. Or at some point, we've got to realize that cannot offer a future for this country of anything but division. Now, I'll tell you, there's an aspect of affirmative action, but I don't call it affirmative action, but there's an aspect of it that I think is good, and it's this. Look, I come from a poor community, and I'm sure there are those of you listening to me come from poor families. I did. When I got ready to go to college, when I was making my way, I was doing well academically, obviously, I didn't know some of the things that kids whose parents were already educated know. Like, for example, when it came time for our children to go to college, my wife and I had 3 degrees between us. Well, 4 degrees between us. Well, actually, 5 degrees between us. We knew that. We understood that. It had nothing to do with skin color. It just had to do with background. I don't have a problem with making information available to people, trying to give them a broader sense than what their background might give them or what's available. But this stuff of race norming and set-asides and all of this, it can't be the future of our country, because it's only going to serve to divide us and make us resent one another. And with the demographics changing, what's next? I mean, maybe we need Mexican affirmative action or Hispanic affirmative action or Latino, whichever way you choose to designate it. I mean, is that what's next? I mean, we got a lot of Indians coming from India. Maybe we need India affirmative action. I mean, it just never, ever ends, folks. And I just want our country to be unified. And that's never going to do it. And how long do we continue to play this game of trying to make up for what happened and ended 150 years ago? I mean, we can't go on with that forever. And yeah, I do feel passionately about that, because I don't think that's good ultimately for black folks, because I think what it does for them, it gives them a sense of entitlement, but it also on the back end raises a question about whether they meet the same standards as someone else. And I don't ever want anybody to question whether I did as well on a test, whether I can do as well in creating a product. I want to be judged on the merits. I want to compete. I want to demonstrate I'm the best. I don't want some, well, you're not the best, but we owe you a handout. I mean, that's, to me, that's denigrating. It's demeaning. Who needs that? Who wants that? Well, you got a lot of leftist politicians who have taught people and convinced people that that's the only way to make it. Well, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. That's not the only way to make it. You can make it by your own merit. The Bible says God opens doors and no one can close them. Wow, you got me started there, Dickie. So, well, folks, I'm going to come right to your calls after the next break. Thanks for your patience. Back in a moment.
As he leaves, he says, "Oh, Mom, can I bring Joe, a skiing instructor, home for dinner tonight?" And I'm, "Oh, sure, no problem."
It doesn't happen often enough, but family meal times are important. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and meal planning expert Mary Beth Lagerberg shares how eating together as a family can be a wonderful gift.
"Oh, did I tell you Joe used to be a chef?" And the door slams. So I'm standing there having my coffee, and I know that dinner that night is going to be meatloaf, green beans, and mashed potatoes. And suddenly it didn't seem good enough. But I had a busy day. So that evening, I hear the two of them come in the back door. And this young man, Joe, who is single, probably in his 30s, he goes, "Wow, it smells like a family."
What a great response. And you'll hear more from Mary Beth Lagerberg today about enjoying meals together at familyminute.org.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, "An inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away."
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. And folks, I want to get right to your calls. We got a number of issues that have been brought up. We got the attack on the embassy in Baghdad. What happened? The shooting in Texas. Somebody just brought up affirmative action. And of course, it's a brand new year. So anything that's on your mind is good. Let's go to the lines. We've got Sherry in North Carolina. Sherry, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Just want to make a comment about something you said at the start of the program. This country is breeding utter fools. And what really fries me is the fact that so many Christians just seem to go right along with it, just like little sheep. Imagine criticizing folks at that Texas church for defending themselves. What were they supposed to do? Just lay over and let the rest of the congregation be mowed down? As usual, the two victims have hardly been mentioned and totally forgotten. Those bad old guns will get you, especially when you don't have one.
Sherry, that's why I say there's got to be something more to this than just, oh, we think guns are dangerous. When you see a situation in which people with guns defend themselves against an evildoer who is intent on killing as many people as possible, and you still end up with leftists saying, oh, well, Biden say? Well, he shouldn't have had that gun. the guy who took him out, who took out the evildoer, shouldn't have had a gun. Well, what should he have had? A slingshot? I mean... So what are they really up to? I think they've got to be up to disarming the American people. I just don't see anything else that makes any rational sense. So, but you're right, Sherry. I mean, that talk about foolishness. You'd think they would be simply singing the praises of the man who took out the perpetrator and also remembering the two men who lost their lives trying to defend that congregation. So, Sherry, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Hello.
Mary, you're on. There you go.
This is Mary.
Yes.
I was just thinking about when they did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the Democrats did it so they could look somber and black and everything to start the impeachment vote. But didn't the Democrat public realize that they were lying because they said that they had no place on their platform for God. God was not going to be on their platform, the Democrats said. So they stood right there on national TV, faking doing the Pledge of Allegiance, saying, "In one nation under God." I wonder how many of them didn't actually say it. So the citizens should realize they're still lying to them. And when I was in the hospital this weekend, I had more time between pain, talking to the other nurses, saying, you don't want socialist government, because I wouldn't be able to be in the hospital right now, or my husband wouldn't be able to have radiation, because of if we get socialist government, you're going to be put back on a burner and not be taken care of. So we all have to wear a uniform, whether we're in the military or not. We have to decide if it's evil or good. So people listening, if you're a Democrat, put on the good uniform. Be with God. And let's stamp out this Democrat movement of trying to wash away the United States and the whole world to evil. I hope I made sense.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Mary, I think you've nailed it. Remember, Hillary Clinton at her convention, when she got the nomination, she didn't have any flags on the stage. And then they got them up later. And somebody pointed that out on the media, and apparently they rushed to get the flags out. I don't believe that was by mistake. I think they were basically playing to their base, because, you know, there are many leftists who have now said, well, the flag is a Republican symbol. No, it's a symbol of the United States of America. It is not Republican or Democrat or independent. It transcends politics, but not to them. See, because they're fundamentally not patriots. I'm serious. They're really not. They're really not. Anytime you get a presidential candidate like Barack Obama who doesn't want to wear the flag lapel pin because I don't believe in that kind of patriotism. Well, what does that mean? I mean, the flag is simply a symbol of our country. Why would you not want to wear it? And you get them supporting people who won't stand up for the flag and won't stand up for the national anthem, saying, well, you know, they have a First Amendment right. Yeah, they do have a First Amendment right. They don't have a First Amendment right to do that on the private property of their employer. And of course, I won't get started on that one. But yeah, I think fundamentally the Democrat Party in general has rejected patriotism and love of country. I just don't think they see it that way. I think they want something very different than what we have, and they don't like what we have. And so for that reason, they don't like the country. I think Kaepernick spoke for a bunch of them when he said, well, I'm not going to stand up for the flag for a country that is oppressive and exploitive and imperialist. And this, you know, all the little garbage, communist, socialist, Marxist talking points. And they all believe in it. They all buy into that stuff. They're all Saul Alinskyites. They're all Gramsciites. Frankly, they're all Marxists, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there might be a handful that aren't. But most of them are. They bought whole lock, stock, and barrel into collectivism rather than what our country's built on, which is individual liberty. So thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Wendell of Georgia. Wendell, welcome.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Well, I have seen them better, but I have seen them a whole lot worse.
Okay.
I wanted to just... First off, I want to tell you that I love hearing you talk, because you get all fired up about everything, and I love it.
Thank you.
Because my wife says that I'm radical. I don't think I am. I think I'm a Christian standing for what I believe in, whether you like it or not, and don't care what if you don't like it, if as to what I say. But you mentioned earlier about the money that the last administration took over to the Iran.
Yep.
They use that money to make war on our people and on our people here in this country, our soldiers over there and our people here in this country. And I told her 6-7 years ago, I said, there's going to be a war. There's going to be a war. There's going to be those people. I would love to walk, you know, get along with them, but they're not going to let us do that. They want to take over the world, and you're either going to believe the way they believe or they're going to kill us. And I'm going to tell you something. If it comes down to me or them dying, guess who's going to die?
Okay.
It's not going to be me.
All right. Well, Wendell, listen, we've got the point, and I think you're right. I will say this. It is my earnest hope that some of these elites, just like here, these elite radical Islamists in these countries where they're half starving their people, where the people can't experience any kind of high standard of living because they're constantly at war with us, at war with the world, that if they would rise up and throw off these regimes and establish constitutional republics, something like ours, it doesn't have to be exactly like ours, but where individual liberty is the rule of the day, where freedom of speech and freedom of thought and freedom of conscience is the rule of the day, I think we could get along with them. Now, whether that can ever happen or will ever happen, I just don't know. But you're right. In the meantime, and I say this as a loving Christian who cares about all people, I really believe that we have a stewardship responsibility to protect and defend the American people against all enemies, foreign and domestic. If it comes to a issue of whether it's us or them, it's definitely them. It's definitely them. We like you said, I don't want that. I would love to get along with everybody. That's what we want. We want peace. But George Washington said the best way to assure the peace is to prepare for war. So, Wendell, can't disagree with you. Let's go to Jewel in Tennessee. Jewel, welcome. Jewel, you're on.
Hi there, Bishop. Yes, the one thing about that shooting that was extremely prophetic is one man, he covered his wife's body with his own. To me, that spoke like Christ did for us.
Amen.
The other is people's lives are being destroyed, and they're doing it without firing a shot. If you will look up smart meters and smart meter protests, they emit radiation 24/7. I have been sick since they put this on my house. I've got a tumor. Headaches have not stopped. I have not slept. I've gotten bloody noses. And they're doing this. If we allow this and we don't do something, just pick up the phone if you have to. If you're sick, if you're weak, and your children, it's going to take your focus on what we need to do. It's going to take your focus off of what we need to do.
Okay, well, Jewel, thank you. That's why I love my audience, because you all inform me of things that I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard about this smart meter stuff, but we'll take a look at it, because, you know, sometimes government doesn't listen. I'll quote James Madison. James Madison said, enlightened statesmen may not always be at the helm. And so sometimes government is doing stuff that is completely counter to the best interests of the American people. This is something that is new to me, but I'll definitely see what that's all about. Let's go to Brenda in Alabama. Brenda, welcome. Brenda, you're the last one. You get the last word. Go right ahead.
All right, sir. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when the president was saying his speech to the nation after he won, Nancy Pelosi was behind him clapping with her hands to the sideway instead of like we normally do. Hold on one second. And after it, the people in the news asked her people, her congregation or whatever you call it, why did Nancy clap for Trump? And the girl said, you didn't notice what she did. She did a sideways clap, you know, up on top of each other clap. And he said, yeah. And she said, that means elf.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So she was doing that up there right behind him.
Well, you know what, Brenda, it doesn't surprise me, because here again, when you reject God, there's nothing that's good coming out of you. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, or woman, brings forth good things, and an evil person out of the evil treasure of their heart brings forth evil things. And he said, by your words, you shall be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. They think they're condemning the president. They're actually condemning themselves, because they're going to answer to God for every idle word. Well, folks, that's going to do it. Great first day of 2020 broadcasting. Thank you all for your prayers and your support. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.